moved by the Spirit, he went into temple courts. When the parents brought to the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, the light for revelation of the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause a falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too.
Thank you very much for that reading this morning. Christmas is a period of waiting, especially for the children. I remember we used to have a look around the house to see if we could find the presents, because we found it difficult to wait to Christmas morning. And I want you just to think about those who are waiting at Christmas time. Somebody has asked the question, how long does it take for a dream to come through or a promise to be fulfilled? Or when do you stop believing that a promise will actually happen? Well, for centuries, God's people had waited for the Messiah, one who would bring justice and peace and freedom and would free them from their enemies. And that promise had not yet been fulfilled. Many had lost hope. But in our reading, we read that for a few, the flame of hope still flickered. But as we think of this idea of waiting, I want to say that a number of people and things were waiting. Sorry, I've got a PowerPoint, or I had a PowerPoint. Can you put that up, John? Yeah, thank you. So first of all, history was waiting. As we come to Christmas, Paul actually describes the timing of the Lord's birth in this way, in Galatians, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Or in other words, when the time had fully come, at the precise moment, God sent his Son. So there was a sense in which history had been waiting for this moment. Prophets had spoken about it. People had big expectations of it. But God's plan was even greater than they imagined. History had actually waited from early Genesis. Now God had sent his Son to be the saviour of the world. Something that would be a global event. A moment that history would change forever. And already in our service this morning, we've thought about in our prayers that we should be praying for our world, for our nation, for our families and friends, that they will recognize the enormity of this moment and will see Christmas for what it really is. So history was waiting. Secondly, the angels were waiting. The disciple Peter, in his book in 1 Peter 1:10, speaks about prophets who search, trying to find out the time of Christ's coming. And then verse 12 says, the angels longed to look into these things. So not only was history waiting, but the angels were waiting. And when that moment came, its enormity was not lost on them. Because we know that they burst into praise and brought glory to God in the highest. Having longed to understand God's plan, the angels' waiting was over. Messiah was born, a special gift to the world. But there were people who were waiting. Mary and Joseph, an ordinary young couple from an insignificant village with lowly occupations. Out of the blue, they are suddenly told that they're going to have a son in 8 or 9 months. His name had to be Jesus. which meant he shall save his people from their sins. So Mary and Joseph had a short wait. The wise men, who were non-Jews, astrologers, influential people, they journeyed and therefore waited. We don't know how long they journeyed, some estimate between 4 or 5 months. But these were men familiar with predictions that a great Jewish king would come, and they were waiting. And then finally, from our reading this morning, Simeon and Anna, older people were waiting. The hope of a Messiah had passed to them through generations. And God had actually spoken to Simeon that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah. And so Simeon waited and looked. As we think of these people who were waiting, they were really not clued in to the fullness of what was about to unfold. But God drew them together in this amazing drama. Sometimes we say you could never have written the script, and that's true about the Christmas script. This is what happens when God is at work. A God who does things differently, a God who does things with precision and detail, a God whose timing is important. Some people waited from these prophecies for 700 years until they were fulfilled. And I want to remind us this morning that Christmas is God's invitation for all of us to be part of this great drama, our story. The wonderful message from the history, from angels, from people waiting, is that God is interested in each of us. He wants to come close to us, to bless us. He wants us to know that his plans for us are good. And the question is, as we wait for Christmas, are we listening for him? Will we accept his invitation afresh to come? So this was God's great moment. But it was also God's mystery revealed and humanity's problem addressed. Perhaps we could have the next slide, John. Simeon faithfully held that Messiah would come. Somebody has said that in his heart, a truth had lived long. On the day he came to the temple, he was moved by God. And there he meets Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And it was God who set this time and place for that special meeting. What a moment this was. In one sense, it was just an ordinary moment. A young couple with their baby going to be blessed in the temple. And in another sense, it was an extraordinary moment. Imagine being Simeon, who had waited all his life for this moment, who knew that this had been prophesied over 700 years ago, and here he was, holding in his hands the Saviour of the world. What a moment it was for him, as God's mystery was revealed. Simeon, the old man, took the Lord Jesus in his arms and blessed God and blessed his parents. The moment revealed what had been foretold for centuries. It's interesting, in Romans chapter 16 and verse 25, Paul says, the message that I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages, is now revealed and made known. So what's happening is, in this moment with Simeon, was that a mystery was being unveiled. I want us just to think for a moment about Simeon's song of praise, his blessing of God. So as he embraces Jesus, he blesses God. Those who embrace Jesus as Saviour have a desire to worship him, just like the carol says, and as we sang in Chris Tomlinson's song, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. And every Christmas I ask the Lord, Lord, give us a fresh understanding. Give me a fresh understanding of an aspect of your coming, so that in a fresh and in a new way, I can worship and adore you. There are two things that in this song, there's more than two, but two things in this song Simeon brings out as he praises God. First of all, he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. Looking at baby Jesus, he recognizes this baby as the salvation that God had promised and was now providing for all people. Through him, people in bondage can be free. Those who are broken can be healed. Sinners can be forgiven. And in Jesus, this moment begins to reverse what went wrong when our forefathers sinned at the beginning. A Savior has come. Secondly, Simeon speaks about a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 had said, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus will enable people to step into the light rather than live in the darkness and despair of sin. Christmas is a time of hope. I love that new song, Jesus, Hope of the Nations. Jesus, Comfort of all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, Light in the darkness. Jesus, Truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life. You're the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. There was a minister in America, Norman Peel, and this is what he said. Christmas waves a magic wand over this world, and behold, everything is softer and more beautiful. I found that quote from Norman Vincent so underwhelming compared to the statements that Simeon made. Simeon's song is world embracing. It's good news for all. It's the beginning of a new phase of history. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the next slide tells us, great is the mystery of godliness. God appeared in flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up to glory. This is God appearing in flesh, coming to be the Savior of the world. Simeon not only blessed God, but he blessed Mary and Joseph. And as he blessed them, and as they listened to his song, they marveled at what was said about the baby. There's a sense in which he's helping them understand who their son was. He's educating them. This wasn't an old man looking into a baby's pram and saying nice things about a baby as people do. But his words were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And his words blessed Mary and Joseph. But as he blesses them, he also gives them a difficult message, as our slide will show us. It says people will rise and fall because of him. That's what we read. This baby will separate people. Not everybody would be welcoming to him. In fact, later, the Lord Jesus himself would say, light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. as the light of the world, Jesus would expose what goes on in the darkness. No longer people can keep their sin hidden. And so, Jesus and sin can't coexist. The children of God should not live or walk in darkness. Simeon is saying here that we are all confronted by Jesus. No one can remain neutral. As a result, some people will oppose him. That's what we read in Isaiah 53. Again, a prophecy about the Lord Jesus. He's despised and rejected by men. And those who follow Jesus will also feel that cold wind of opposition, as we are beginning to feel in our secular country today. But not only does Simeon speak about the fact that people will rise and fall because of Jesus, he speaks to Mary specifically. As the mother of Jesus, she had a very privileged position, but her life wouldn't be easy. Simeon said, "A sword will pierce your soul." That's a picture of pain, of anguish, of suffering. And it begins to hint at the journey that Jesus would take from the cradle to the cross. Because as the Saviour of the world, he would die a cruel death. Philippians chapter 2 reminds us of this. Being made in human likeness, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. It was in seeing her son crucified that the sword would pierce Mary's maternal heart. Mary's call to follow God wasn't easy. It was a difficult road. And yet we see her following that road. And when Jesus died on the cross, she stood there, firm and resolute. I wonder if, like Mary, we do recognize God's blessing on our lives. And the question is, when the challenges come, will we continue to trust him for the calling that he has given to us specifically? Finally, in our last slide, we have the title, God is Working to a Plan. Because we too are waiting for another coming. Again, this was referred to in our prayers this morning, the second advent. Titus chapter 2 and 11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." And then verse 13 says, "We wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us." Jesus, who came that first Christmas, will come again. The precise date of his coming is not something we can predict. And those who spend their time calculating what the date might be are actually missing the point. It's not about finding out when it happens. It's about being ready for when he comes. When Jesus returns, he expects those who follow him to be living a life that's worthy of him. The hope of Christ's coming is not something to test our brains, but it's a fact to change our life. The purpose of being aware of Christ's coming is to challenge us to live today for him. And so the question at the end of our talk this morning is, are we ready and waiting for his coming? Our response to his first coming will determine our readiness for his second coming. And so Christmas is much more serious than tinsel and glitter and presents. Christmas is an invitation to meet Jesus and an invitation to be ready for his second coming. I trust we will all be ready, and that this Christmas, in a fresh and a new way, we will know who Jesus is. Thank you very much.
Thank you.